It's SWOPES. My crew, my boo, my weed's the best. So ahead of my time, you can't see me yet. But the last thing you'll ever see is me be stressed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to my podcast. It is me, Elise Swopes. And hi, how are you? I hope you're doing good. I am doing pretty good, I think, considering life is moving fast and changing quickly. It seems that the virus is not slowing down whatsoever, and that means that quarantine is not slowing down whatsoever, and it's probably not going to change anytime soon, and I'd rather be safe than sorry. You guys know me, so yeah, I guess we're just going to feel it out, huh? I mean, I'm doing my best, taking every moment for what I can and using a lot of this time to my advantage. Though a lot of work has started to pick up recently, so I've been really, really busy, and it's been a little hard to keep up with my personal stuff, but that just means that maybe I need to give other people an opportunity to work on some of my ideas instead of me always having to do everything myself. And it's something I'm trying to work on and just bring myself out of my comfort zone with that, because that's really what I try to do most, if not all the time, is really go outside of my comfort zone so that I can be someone who grows consistently and is not afraid of the unknown, because the unknown is where all of our opportunity lies. It's where life is, you know? So I don't want to be the type to hold myself back when I know that there's tons out there. Now that brings me to our topics today. Today our topics are going to be friendship, family, and forgiveness. And the friendship is going to really be about what's toxic and what's not. For the family, it's going to be about how to kind of balance work and family and what that importance is of family. It's really just a reminder almost to say, hey, you probably shouldn't work so much. And also, forgiveness. We're going to talk about forgiveness for ourselves, for others, and let's just talk about it in the real, true, honest way as we always do. So let's get into it. All right. So friendship. Yeah. What about friendship? Friendship is complicated. You know, I mean, there's so many different types of friendships. There's real friendships. There's clout friendships. There's frenemies. I mean, really, it goes from the nice spectrum of it to the scary spectrum of it. For me, I've seen both sides. I've seen all sides. I've seen friends who, I mean, as of recent, just to be very honest and very transparent, I mean, I've been making some very serious decisions, people who I've been enabling as friends, and people who have hurt me in the past, who have not been there for me, who have not supported me, who have not done nothing, but it's been a one-sided relationship where I support them, I do everything for them, and you start realizing, like, wait, I feel kind of goofy about this. And so I just had a moment like that recently where I really just had to analyze and say, okay, am I actually getting anything out of this? And do I always feel really bad when I leave? And I do. And that was the decision maker. And sometimes you got to ask yourself a lot of these questions that I'm about to give you now. Is what you and this other person doing a real friendship, or is it just toxic? Now, the first thing you need to think about is, does the relationship feel like a transaction? I mean, does it feel like what you can do for them is what they can do for you? And are they trying to sell you something? Do they ever ask for money? Do they always ask for favors or kind of keep tabs on things? I don't know. I guess even sometimes a transaction in that case can be negative on their side. But you also have to think about too, like, do you have certain friendships to almost cover up like your self-esteem or cover up your low self-esteem? Do you have a friend who you just have to, like, I don't know, like fill time or something, or someone to like blame your issues on? You really just got to analyze and sit with it and think about, what does that road look like to you and this friend? And I mentioned earlier, clout friends. Clout friends, if you don't know what clout is, it's just cool factors, cool points, popularity. I mean, there's a lot of friends that I have who I almost are just simply friends with because they're talented, but I don't really know them that well. And if something comes up about them that's pretty horrible, people will be like, hey, you follow them. What do you think about them in this situation? I'm like, I don't even know them. Now it's like for me as someone who's somewhat in the limelight, not necessarily, I don't even like that word, but like just have a platform, I guess. It brings me to a place where people are always trying to associate me with anything or something. And that's why I'm trying to be really aware of not just attaching to people because of what they do, but who they are, you know? I mean, you really gotta make your friends by who they are, not by what they do. And that's something I'm trying to live by and really try to cut off a lot of stuff that I've been enabling myself. Like I said, you know, it takes a lot of learning and unlearning and just really a lot of acknowledgement and understanding and analyzing of why you do what you do. And that's hard. I mean, there's even some friends that I have that are almost like scary a little bit. And not to say that I'm scared of anyone, but they're just kind of crazy. And like, if you're not friends with them, they'll be like mean to you or something, you know? There's a lot of people like that. And that's a little weird too. And I have some friends like that. So those might be like frenemies or something. I don't know. Do they have a name? Do they not? I don't know. But they need to start acting right. Now, like I said, does your friendship feel like a transaction? So think about that road and think about, you know, what that friendship means to you and to this other person. Are you just trying to get in the club with them? Just trying to get backstage passes? Trying to get cool stuff? Free swag? Whatever. That's toxicity, my friend. Okay, and then number two. Do they make you a better person? Your friends are supposed to make you better, okay? They're supposed to not enable you to do horrible things. They're not supposed to enable you to, like, get blackout drunk and, like, support your horrible habits and your horrible health. You know, if you're trying to quit smoking or something, they're not going to be like, oh, we'll just have one more. Like, no, a good friend is going to smack that shit out of your hand and be like, you're not going to hit that. It's not happening. Let's go. Go do something else. Those are friends who care about you. Friends don't make fun of you and make you feel really, really actually bad about yourself. Like, I remember thinking back, friends that I thought were my friends would make fun of me. And like, I think back about what they said, and that stuff hurt. Words hurt sometimes, and it hits and it sticks with you a little bit inside your brain. I mean, you can't even help it. It's just a little folder that's created at that time. And that's like, damn, I'm kind of stunned by that. And so it creates in your brain, and you got to reference it every now and then until you become an adult and you're like, damn, that really did hurt. Wish I told that person. But that's where we're going to talk about forgiveness later, because friendship and family and forgiveness really all tie into one another. So, and then, I mean, I guess even this is something I've dealt with too. I've had friends where, you know, if someone asks you about them, you got to be like, it's complicated. If you got to make up excuses for them and like make up excuses for certain things, that shouldn't be an answer to your friendship. It's not right. I mean, there's only so many times, of course, you can help people. You can be helpful, of course, but don't get walked all over on to the point where you think that something is that it's not. You know, always be aware and be mindful and be present of your time and your energy, because that stuff really matters. And you really got to think about how they make you feel. How do they make you feel, man? Just think about it. Feel in your gut. Everyone knows how they feel, and you got to be honest with yourself, and you can't just cover it up. Don't lie to yourself. Be your own friend. And if you aren't your own friend, you got to build trust, build the habits within yourself to know that you know what's best for yourself. And if they're not making you feel good, then they're clearly not happy for you. And you've got to question if a friend is ever happy for you. If you have a successful moment in your life, if you're really happy and excited about an idea or something, is that friend supporting you? Are they happy for your success? Are they happy for your level up? Or are they just jealous and kind of spiteful and feeling kind of weird about it? Like, that's not a friend, homie. Not a friend. A good friend is going to make you feel happier. It's going to make you feel more confident. They're going to hype you up, gas you up, make you feel like you're on top of the world. Like, there's no doubt in your mind that you can accomplish something like that. Because I'll tell you this much, I am your friend, and I'm going to tell you that right now, is that you can definitely accomplish absolutely everything you put your mind to. And I promise you that. Now, that's because I know firsthand. I know that no matter what, you'll always learn a good lesson. I know that no matter what, you'll always persevere, because that's what we do. Now, that's what a friend says. right? And you got to feel good. You got to feel happy when you talk to them. Also, you got to think about, are you the same people or are you pretty different? I like to believe that a lot of the friends that I have, we are very different. I mean, we may have a lot of things in common. We may talk about a lot of the same stuff because it's either generational or we just are respectful people or we're kind people, whatever. We're empathetic people, which I'm sure that's, of course, the case. But I think there's something to be said about people who are around people that are exactly like them all the time. Maybe there's a fear and maybe there's a force there. I don't know, it's just something interesting about always hanging out with people who look like you. And I've never been able to do something like that. I mean, it would be weird if there was like a coalition of mixed people who are just walking around hanging out with each other. I mean, I've seen it with certain races, of course, it's fine, do whatever you want. It doesn't make me upset or whatever. But like, at the end of the day, there should be a difference. And there should also be things that you learn about life and things that they either like call you out on or you hold yourself accountable with in learning through them. You know, that's what real friends are about, is teaching you experience in different lifestyles and existence, because everything is different and there's so much to learn. And you've got to think about that mutual effort of learning about one another. Do they want to learn about you? Do they want to learn about your differences? Or do they just want to hear about all the same stuff? So something to consider, of course. And you also want to just make sure that you can be yourself with them. It'd be weird as heck if you got to pretend and tiptoe around somebody to be around them. I mean, you really got to think about, just, can you be honest? And can you just be yourself at the end of the day? And then also you got to think about, how do you feel when they leave? I mean, I guess it's a little different than, how do they make you feel, or do they make you feel better? Or are they nice to you day to day? I mean, this is another thing. It's like, when they leave your presence, do you feel exhausted or do you feel inspired? Do you lie to people about your experiences with them? Can you trust them even when you leave? I mean, are they going to talk behind your back? Or if you leave them at your house, do you think they're going to actually take care of your stuff and not let someone in or do something silly or crazy or dumb? I mean, do they know you enough to not do something crazy and dumb? I'd hope so. I have a few friends who I wouldn't trust with a 10-foot pole of my apartment. Probably something I need to consider a little bit. Now, one of the most important things, I think, is thinking about if they support you through adversity, through tough times, through good times. Do they keep your stress low, or do they keep your confidence high? Do they keep you humble, though, too? You know, when you're acting a fool or something, that's really important. I mean, I guess, do they keep their word with you? Do they support you when they say they're going to come somewhere? You know, do they stand you up? It's a pretty considerable offense. And last but not least, do they compete with you? Is it for jobs? Is it for attention? Is it for partners? You know, really, truly something to consider, because someone who is your friend is going to go, I mean, I guess there's not necessarily a code. I mean, is there? I guess there is. I follow by one, but I think you should still communicate things with them enough to where you're not competing with things. They shouldn't be sneaky. They shouldn't be weird. And there should be an understanding that there is enough for the both of you, and that, you know, no matter what happens, you can both come up together when one wins. Now, I hope that helps a little bit when you're thinking about if someone is a toxic friend or not, because I'm telling you, I'm thinking about a few people when I'm going through that list, and it seems that I still got a little bit of work to do, but it's not supposed to be quick. Take your time. Don't cut people off when you're just like very emotional and high strung. Make sure that you have some reasons and some ideas and some thought process behind it. But we're going to go through the forgiveness part after this family work balance part, but there's a ton to talk about when it comes to just judgment and forgiveness, and we'll talk about it then. Now, when it comes to family and work life, I actually called my grandfather the other day, my dad's dad, and told him, you know, I apologize that I haven't really called him enough and that I've been really just work focused. And I'd love to just learn more about him, you know, because obviously you never know how long they're here for. And I would love to just hear every story and hear every experience myself so that I can pass those on to, you know, my kids or whoever else wants to listen and should listen. So I'm starting to make some more time for that and to make more time for just to listen in general to so many other people and to give my time in that way when it comes to my family, most importantly. But, you know, I talk to my dad and my mom and my little brother a lot. Maybe not so much my little brother. I mean, I probably talk to him like once every 3 weeks or so. But my dad and my mom, I probably talk to like once every other day. They definitely call me a lot, and I probably call them too because we get along really well and I really like them. I mean, I like them as people and I love them as parents, you know. I mean, I can't not say great things about them, and I've seen them grow. I mean, they had me when they were 19 years old. My mom did. I think my dad was like 20 something. I mean, they were pretty young. And I think back about when I was at that age, I was very young and very weird and very strange, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I thought I did. Now, you gotta learn a lot in your life by making a lot of mistakes and just trying. And I'm impressed by them because they tried as much as they could, and look where they're at now. It's me. I guess it's the only example I have specifically to show you about their accomplishments, but they're great people. My dad's a teacher, my mom's this amazing marketing manager for a wine company, which I am a partner with as well. So it's just fun. It's nice to have creative parents, cool parents, parents who care about people, who care about what's going on. You know, they're not ignorant and they're super cool and feel very blessed. But the problem is that I guess I do struggle with seeing them physically. I guess I'm not someone to be like, oh, I miss my mom. I want to hug my mom. I'm like, I'm not very like touchy, huggy stuff like that. But I am very like emotionally invested. So if my mom couldn't talk to me or something for like a while, like that would really be weird. Or if my dad and my mom couldn't talk to me for a while, that'd be super sad. So I guess I do try to follow these tips, but the thing is it's hard now. Obviously, I live in New York, and I guess I saw them a lot when I was living in Chicago decently. I saw my dad more because he'd come by. He likes being in the city. My mom doesn't like being in the city too much, but it was easier when you're in the same state, obviously. But when New York is happening and COVID, and it's a different playing field. So I try to set priorities to call them every weekend, during the week once, during the weekend once. Just see what they're up to, see if they're being safe, see if they're being smart. And I'm sure they're doing the same for me. Not trying to like parent my own parents or anything, but, you know, trying to balance that out. Now, the first step to balancing family life and work life is to set your priorities. Think about it. You know, think about your purpose. Think about your mission. Think about what's important to you. And you gotta let yourself be the controller of time. Don't be like, well, I don't have any time, you know, for this and that. It's like, you got to make time. Don't let time be a burden. Don't let time be the controller of your life. You have to make more time. Either go to bed earlier, wake up earlier, go to bed later, take some more time, have a different routine, have a different set, whatever it is. Think about what your priorities and your mission is and your purpose, and think about and be specific about it. Write it down, and you've got to think about those values, those morals that are connected to that, because that's going to be the sail to your ship. It's going to be the thing that holds you either forward or pulls you forward or either holds you back in certain good cases, because it's the thing that's going to limit the unnecessary tasks. It's going to limit that confusion between the family and the work life. You've got to think about, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be remembered as? So you've also got to plan and prep. Think about using your Sundays to sit down and think about what is important to you, what you want to accomplish in the week, who you want to talk to, what you want to do. I mean, Sundays are for you to make sure that Monday is not so stressful. And I have another podcast about Mondays. You've got to listen to it because it's one of my favorites. I love Mondays. I think they're the best. But there's a lot of prep that goes into Monday to make sure that you're not posting a meme about being tired and exhausted and miserable about going into a next week of your life when you should be in complete control. You should be happy every day you wake up. You shouldn't be like a free slave to society, a slave to someone else's dreams. Be a committed, intentional person to your dreams. And that's what Good Mondays are about. It's not about pretending and being positive and stuff. It's about actually making change and real effort to make sure that you're living the life you want to live. Okay, so I went off on a tangent, but for real, I love Mondays. Now, have calendars, get organized, okay? Put things in your phone, have visual calendars on a fridge, on a wall, something where everyone can see and fill out themselves and adjust and be happy about it and excited. You know, I mean, that's the coolest part is when you send a calendar invite to your parents and they're like, how do I use this? And you're like, here's how. And then you just talk a little bit more. I mean, just have fun. Don't overthink it. You know, things change. Laugh it out. It's not supposed to be so serious. Not all of this is supposed to be so serious. Of course, bad things happen, but if a plan or something of a prep of yours isn't going the way it needs to, just shift focus and think about what can be done instead of what can't be done. And think about, like I said, establishing some habits, some rituals, having like a movie night or a game night or something where you guys can, you know, hang out and it could be like your thing. And that's really nice to have a ritual, have something to look forward to have something that's going to be, you know, a thing. And when your body's used to it and then your mind gets used to it and your family gets used to it, you get used to it, you know, everyone else gets used to it. Now, if your work life is really getting really wild, you may be thinking about getting an assistant or a virtual assistant. You can hire people to do virtual tasks for you through the internet. Those are really, really helpful. I've used them before. I've used TaskBullet, which is amazing. They hire people they can answer your emails. They can type up tasks. I mean, they can do research. Anything you think of, they can probably figure out how to do it digitally. So you might want to think about if you need a manager or something, if that's the case in your life. Just explain your needs out loud. I mean, maybe even sit down with yourself and make a list. Think about what's troubling you, what's taking up most of your time, and if it's necessary, really dig deep and pay attention. Don't ignore it. Don't fear the answer because it's almost going to give you the answer that you are supposed to actually take action, that you're supposed to be accountable, that you're actually supposed to be, you know, doing A, B, and C. But when you actually know the truth and the answer, sometimes there's a lot of anxiety there because then you know you got to take action. Now you know the steps. Now there's no excuse. Also think about, you know, how communication is absolutely key. Communicate to who you need to communicate to, whether it's a team member, whether it's your family. Tell everybody what's going on in your life. Don't hold stuff in. More times than not, when you say what you're feeling out loud, everyone's going to understand and everyone's going to be like, wow, that's why you're being like that, or this is this. You know, it's like everything has a reason. And when we finally give that reason, we finally just let go of the weight of the reason, we start to see that the reason wasn't that heavy in the first place. And everyone else gets to, you know, hold it with us. Now, the most important task almost before any of this is really to think about how you're taking care of yourself, because the way you take care of yourself is obviously going to set the tone for everything you do, whether it's relationships, your work, your existence, your time, your body, your effort, your health. That's where it all begins. So think about relaxing with yourself. You don't always have to be like, I think some people think self-care is like working out, cooking good, and like doing the most. Like sometimes maybe sitting back and doing nothing and being quiet and listening to some rain noise and just being in your own space sometimes is enough to be that care for yourself, you know? And like I said, talk to people about your job, talk to people, talk to your kids, you know, talk to your family, talk to just everyone about what is going on if they want to listen, of course. And right now, I think, and this is something interesting I've realized is because I've also not really been one to have a 9-to-5 ever in my life, but I know a lot of people have had jobs. There's this thing where, you know, there's a commute time, and that commute time sometimes is that time where people decide to have a moment to themselves, either, I don't know, like eat breakfast or to think about what they have to do or to prepare or to prep or whatever, but you gotta have a pre-commute time, especially in these days when no one's going to work at all. You've gotta have your own virtual commute to whatever you're doing, which means, you know, waking up earlier, having some coffee, having some tea, having some water, most importantly, and having breakfast, you know, reviewing what your tasks are for the day, reviewing what you're trying to accomplish, and really setting the tone for yourself, because that's really that commute, that preparation, that, you know, readiness that I think is missing almost in a lot of people's day-to-day, but they need to do a little bit more pre to that commute in itself, because it's good to have a little bit of private time. But, you know, if that's where you can do it, then do it there too. But still, have a virtual commute in your own house now these days and have that moment to yourself. Wake up earlier and be good. Feel good in your body, right? And I think this is super important too, is you've got to think about limiting your distractions. I mean, turn off your phone, turn off things that are not in the plan of what is to happen, you know, learn to say no. And I mean, if you're coming from a place that stresses you out, if you feel angry, if you don't want to bring that to where you're going, take a break before you get into a position where you're relaxed again or around someone to complain or to do something. You know, maybe go into the bathroom, take a shower first, take all your clothes off from the day and hit reset real quick on your body, on yourself, and just maybe have a snack or something. Just hit reset before you get into family time, because it could really help you not bring that anger, that frustration to, you know, a safe, comfortable environment. You want to think about eating without distraction, just, you know, taking that time to cool down with your family, with your people, with, you know, the people that you care about, and just, you know, slow down. And the thing about work is, like, it requires a ton of speed and productivity, right? But at home, it just requires a lot of love and communication and patience and kindness. And that's something that's kind of hard to sometimes change and switch up, because emotions and in life isn't that easy sometimes, is when we're just trying to, like, get out of a mode, you know, it takes a little bit of time. But if you just take a little bit of time to slow down, to cool down, to come back relaxed, you'll give yourself the room to have more love, to have more communication, to not bring that speed and productivity that work requires. All right, so we're on our last section, forgiveness. And forgiveness is, I mean, it involves all types of things, right? Forgiveness is forgiveness for yourself, forgiveness for others, forgiveness for just, I don't know, forgiveness works in many mysterious ways. And sometimes you just gotta let something go and forgive nature, you know, even. Like, just forgive presence, forgive accidents, forgive just anything, right? So forgiveness entails a ton of stuff, and I suppose I could just go on, but I won't for your sake. Now, if you don't forgive, I guess, in any cases, it could rob you of your power and your dignity in your day-to-day sometimes. I mean, it could really kind of pull you from feeling strong. It might make you feel a little bit weak or defeated and feel a little bit of like a victim. Not forgiving can keep you trapped in anger. It can make you feel helpless and stuck in some way. And it could also harm you physically and emotionally, right? And because of the nervous system, when it's on this fight or flight kind of mode, it's not giving to your other organs, your other muscles and your system, right? It's not working the correct way. So then all of your other organs in your body and your blood is not going to be taken care of the way it needs to be. And that can, you know, stop opportunities for yourself. You can get sick, you can have illnesses, you can stop enjoying life for what it can be. Maybe you'll stop having better relationships. Maybe you'll be more angry. You know, I mean, there's just a ton of things that really can come from not forgiving and moving forward. And sometimes it could be in the case of, you know, sometimes you just need to forgive for yourself. And sometimes it's important to forgive for someone else's sake. But I think the first step to forgiving yourself is to kind of analyze, like I've been talking about this a ton, but analyzing and knowing your values and your morals, knowing who you are and what you want to stand for and what that entails, and kind of making a list for yourself on, you know, comparing Almost. I mean, it's going to be raw. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy at all. It's not a pretty thing to forgive yourself or to forgive someone else or to grow or to analyze. I mean, it's difficult. But you've got to make lists. Think about the relationships that you have. How do they always turn out? What do you do that may alter them or may be successful at them? And your family, think about the same thing and think about business. Think about your personal life, you know? Just make a list of what's working and what's not and what that matches up to your values and your morals. And sometimes you're going to need to go through just like a judgment detox or some sort of like a hurt detox. You know, you've got to be honest and you've got to almost validate and I guess reason with situations so that you can at least acknowledge them, you know, and not just push them to the side, because acknowledgement really is 50% of the battle of what you're trying to do. And if you don't acknowledge it, if you don't, you know, get it out, which I think is important, is you can, you know, write a letter, not just to someone else, but to yourself first to get it out, to kind of think about what you're really trying to say. And sometimes when you write it out, when you say it out loud, it kind of seems a little bit off, right? And then you're like, well, it's not that serious. And so it's good. Just maybe write a letter, send it, don't, but just get your feelings out, journal it out, and be honest. I mean, sometimes writing it out, you can even give yourself your own advice, which sometimes we need to. Sometimes we can give the best advice to somebody else, but it's hard for us to take it ourselves. And you've got to really learn to let go and take your own advice sometimes. Okay, so if you're the one asking for forgiveness, you really shouldn't ever do it out of spite or to just kind of like be better than somebody. You always do it because you mean it, because it has nothing to do with them at the end of the day. It has everything to do with your soul and how you feel at the end of the day. Were you honest? Were you authentic? You do not want to live a lie. That stuff hurts. It feels weird. So take the time and see the lesson. Some things cannot be solved in a week or a month or a year. Some things take a while and you got to be patient. You can't rush forgiveness. You can't rush lessons. You can't rush just pain to be healed. You really got to take the time and not just, you know, wait for time to do things. You really got to like take advantage of time and use it and, you know, use it to your advantage and take action through time. I mean, patience is not just sitting there and waiting. Patience is actually, you know, enabling yourself to do something while time is in motion. Also, when you're apologizing or if you're trying to get forgiveness, like don't use buts. Like don't say something and be like, well, I'm really sorry that happened, but like if there's a but in any part of it, it's really obsolete. If you're going to say but, there's still more room to talk it out. There's still more room to say your piece. And if they're not understanding and if you don't even feel like you need to ask for forgiveness, then maybe you don't. Maybe this isn't your thing. Don't ask for forgiveness if you don't necessarily need to. I mean, we've been talking about friendships. We've been talking about family. We've been talking about what's important. You got to realize sometimes when it's important to walk away from people who are causing you stress and issues, because like we said, stress causes illness and we don't want to cause any illnesses by trying to make ourselves the victim and the problem in someone else's life. But continue to be, of course, passionate and humble, making sure that, like we said, we're practicing self-care. You want to make sure that you are being aware and mindful through that waiting period, through the opportunity to learn and grow and to actually be forgiven, because forgiveness can only truly be, you know, a thing in your own soul if you're trying to be forgiven by actually making the change, by doing the work. I mean, forgiveness kind of goes in like a little bit of an order, or it's got kind of like a step process. It's like you got to take responsibility and you got to be remorseful. You got to restore balance and you got to kind of renew your life. I mean, it's really that simple. So responsibility, remorse, restoration, and renewal. So think about that when you are trying to be forgiven or to change in general. All right, so in order to forgive other people, it's really important, I'll say that, because you don't want to live with anger or hatred for someone else, because that anger and hatred is really just making your body react to that all the time. You got to deal with that anger, that hatred. Your body's not being focused on the things you need for your own sake. So the first step is just move on. Don't dwell in that space. You got to move on to the next chapter or the next page of your life. You know, if something's really upsetting you a lot, take some days, take some moments to just think about what can be done, because it's not important and it's not okay to let the emotions run high so that there can be mistakes made, so that, you know, you act out of character, which has happened plenty to every person. So just remember if you have ever been out of character, just don't get to that point again by allowing yourself to be in the situation. Don't dwell in it, move on. And you really have to think about making an agreement with yourself to move on, you know, hold yourself accountable, be your own friend, like I talked about, like make sure that you are holding yourself to a standard where that's not going to be in your head. You're not going to repeat it over and over in your own case or whatever sense of the way. And everyone may have a different way that that goes, you know, whether you're, you know, tweeting about it and you're rereading your tweets, or you're rereading, I don't know, a bunch of stuff and, you know, just dwelling in that moment, or just, you know, having habits and things that don't add up to what you're really trying to accomplish. I mean, you really got to think about that. So have an agreement with yourself where you are holding yourself accountable and you're actually taking action to not dwell. And if necessary, I mean, try your best not to go to sleep angry. And I mean, sometimes you can't talk it out with people, and that's fine. Sometimes you need that breath, that airtime, that space to just think about it and be to yourself, but also journal it. Get it out of your soul, get it out of your system, write it down somewhere so that you can either remember it, you can remember the feeling, you can resort back to it, you can kind of think about it later. Maybe I was being overdramatic, maybe you weren't. You know, it's just something to consider. So always kind of journal something out when you have the space. It'll really help you, you know, kind of not blame other people and kind of understand yourself, most importantly, because a lot of this forgiveness stuff at the end of the day is not a lot of our anger or whatever. It's just not, we shouldn't be out here to just always be living to reprimand someone else or to be angry at somebody else. You should also be thinking about who you are and how you want to grow from each and every situation. So you can't control people. Sometimes you just got to go with the flow and take responsibility and just let go of that resentment and choose kindness over being right. Because sometimes people aren't just going to accept what you're saying. They might be pretty hard-headed, and that's fine. Sometimes you got to move on and just be kind instead of trying to be right, and practice giving away maybe a moment to somebody else who may need it. And also, I think we're living in a really weird time where a lot of people are offended on purpose. You got to really think about sometimes if you're offended by something, are they actually trying to be offensive, or are you just trying to nitpick about something? I mean, there's a ton of people now who I think are in this weird kind of mentality where they're almost bored. Maybe nothing's really about them, but they need something to be. And so they're going to find something to be offended by and to be mad about. Now, don't be that person. That person's not fun and they're not cool. And it doesn't make sense to be the police in that way, like the actual police in itself. We don't want police at all. We want to abolish the police. So don't be the police to your people. And you also want to practice a judgment detox. A judgment detox, I read this book. It's called The Judgment Detox by Gabrielle Bernstein. And she goes through these really cool steps. I mean, they're not cool per se. They're pretty difficult, I'm not going to lie. But it's really helpful, because the judgment detox is a helpful way for you to loosen up not just your judgment for other people, but judgment for yourself. Because I think judgment for other people really begins at judgment of ourselves. And when we can let go of that judgment of ourselves, then we start to judge other people less. So the judgment detox kind of follows six simple rules. And so the first step is to judge your judgment without judgment, to kind of look at it and see what it really is, and to really analyze why you're judging somebody, why you feel a certain way. Be honest, be really, really honest. And you've got to also like honor your wound. So she says, you've got to really think about why you're really upset and what that really means. I mean, it's a hard thing to do, is when we kind of think back about what is the reason why something is actually hurting us? You know, was there a past experience? Was there something that we feel pretty heavy about that may have caused us emotional turmoil now? And then also she says, you got to put love on an altar, right? You've got to think about like, who do you pray to? I mean, I'm not one to be very religious at all. I really don't necessarily like believe in like a God as like a person. I just believe God is like a presence and just it's everything. It's now, it's presence in general. And I think when you put love on an altar, that means that you are putting love first. You are putting love in a place where, you know, it can be seen in every place you go. And it can be hard to do, but it takes a little bit of practice and a little bit of acknowledgement. And it begins with, you know, praying or writing and journaling and saying things out loud. And yeah, it's just really important to have a belief system where, you know, something is for a reason, not so much for a reason, but I mean, I don't think everything happens for a reason. I truly think that we have the opportunity to give everything a reason if we're ambitious enough. I think it's important for us to give everything a reason, to really be aware of our reasons and to make sure that we aren't defeated every day in our life, because we are strong, we are amazing, we can persevere, you know, but it really starts with how we want to see everything and how we choose to believe. Also, she says, you've got to see the lesson, right? You got to see the lesson of what happened. What can you see from that? What change can you make? Sometimes it's pretty obvious, and sometimes it takes a little bit of work to kind of see and analyze and think about, but it's a really important thing to do. You also got to meditate on it. You've got to visualize it. And that meditation, that visualization is really going to be the key to your forgiveness, to your judgment, to your change, to you personifying someone or something instead of just having an idea in your head. When you see someone, when you feel a person, when you're even inside yourself and you personify yourself and you see your own flaws, when you can be present in that, it'll really help you to forgive people. It'll really help you to stop judging people. It'll really put yourself in other people's shoes, because you just realize that, you know, everybody has their own problems. Everybody has their own stuff going on, right? And we do have to be empathetic and be understanding as much as possible, because we're not the most perfect people. We can't be. We definitely can't pretend we are. We all have made mistakes and we've all, you know, want to grow. But I guess sometimes it really just depends on what kind of person that is and how they are willing to grow. Sometimes it takes a lot for somebody to want to change and to grow and to be better. But, you know, sometimes we got to let them go too. Also, her last thing is just be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be patient. Be understanding of your judgment and know that we all have our own problems. We all have our own experience. And when you are understanding of that, it just helps you so much more just to let go and to not be so mad and to not let all this stuff get to you, because let's not kill ourselves, you know, with this. Let's make sure that we are in control of our health by deciding not to allow something to bubble up inside of us. You can heal yourself from the inside out. You can just feel better from the inside out. And it begins with your mind. It begins with your decisions. It begins with your intention to forgive and to let go and to move on and to judge less. All right. Well, that's our three topics. Again, thank you so much for being here. I just really like talking to you and it brings me a lot of joy. I mean, at first I really wasn't thinking that this podcast was going to be anything at all, but I think I took a chance, and I just hope that you see that taking a chance sometimes opens you up to so many different possibilities and so many different opportunities and different things to learn and to educate yourself on. Because without this, there's no way that I would even almost have my own therapy with everybody, you know, and I think that's huge. So we all got a lot of work to do, but I'm willing to do the work with you. So thank you again for tuning in, and I hope you take care, and I hope you stay safe, stay smart. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.